Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. It's the Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Feels like the week is going by fast. Felt like the show has gone by fast. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, along with Pepe, getting it on the Fan Cam.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this week's at least gone by 15 minutes faster than normal. At least for me, anyway.
I can see that. Really 35 minutes because you were useless that first segment you were here.
Yeah.
That's true.
I have to just add to my plate. It's not enough to have a four-year-old, a four-month-old. I got to deal with a 34-year-old when I wake up in the morning to text. Are you up?
You up?
Yep.
35.
I can't wait. I just want to talk to your stepson. That's all I want to do. Get me in front of Jacob.
Yep.
Please get me in front of Jacob and say, don't ever take his crap for you being late or not being on top of your responsibilities.
You're late more than he is.
Ever again. Ever again. Ever. You lost all. You better hope he does not find out about it. Oh, man. So I got to text Bob every morning.
You have to be awake to hear the show.
All right. So the Devontae Adams thing is over in Vegas. Yesterday, we did the topic. Would you trade for him? Can the Cowboys, they have the cap space, or they have some cap space. Amari Cooper, Chuba Hubbard was an RJ target, and we brought up Devontae because it's falling apart in Vegas, and all the insiders said he has told them he prefers to be dealt. Antonio Pierce has not reached out after liking an Instagram post saying that Devontae's played his last snap in Vegas. Kind of unprofessional, offensive, maybe intentional from Antonio Pierce. And then Adam Schefter came out with the report that the Raiders are looking for a second-round pick as part of the package to get this done. All three of us have said no to a second-round pick and some more. Choppy, you're out. Bobby, you feel like it's a little bit too much. Now, my take on these types of deals is, on paper, I'm leaning no. If it happens, I'll still be excited. If the news breaks that the Dallas Cowboys trade for Devontae Adams, I'm going to be freaking way more pumped up about the season. But my heart is saying yes emotionally because I want fun and more hope versus being trapped. Like, I'm emotionally handcuffed right now with this football team because I know the inevitable outcome to their season. But my brain is saying, no, don't do it. Third rounder, yes. Or if you can go ahead and agree to a sweet contract for you moving forward, which we think the deal would have to be redone. Now, the reports are coming in. First, from Josina Anderson, spoke to a league source indicating an NFC team would have, and by the way, the Tolos overwhelmingly on the fan text earlier, about 3 hours ago, were saying no, not going to fix this team. It's not a defensive player. It's not enough. They won't be able to just outscore people. Josina Anderson says, spoke to a source saying an NFC team would have interest, but not currently for a second round pick. Sounds like restructuring would be needed in this particular case as well. Makes a lot of sense. And now we have Diana Russini. And thanks to the Tolos who sent us this from the insider from The Athletic, the Jets and Cowboys are among the many teams monitoring the Devontae situation. Both have checked in with the Raiders. I'm told at this point that Vegas is in no rush to make a move until a team reaches their asking price, but Adams wants out ASAP. So Diana Russini has said the Cowboys and the Jets have checked in.
Yeah, and that, I mean, look, it makes sense that they would check in and see what the cost would be. I don't know what their...
Can you check on what the Jets have, by the way, what they have to play around with?
With money or draft capital?
Money and picks.
And the Saints, too, because Schefter said the Saints.
Oh, he did?
Schefter tweets 1 minute ago, two teams high on them are the Jets and the Saints. Adams wants to play with a quarterback he knows, which is Carr or Rodgers. I guess
this dummy.
I can't think there's not another one he knows. He doesn't play with another one.
If this fool goes back to Derek Carr again, that would be hilarious.
It would be. Carr's had a much better year, but last two games have not been great. But obviously Rodgers would be the one.
So Schefter says he wants to play with a quarterback he knows.
He said in this, Adams ideally would like to play with a quarterback he knows. And the Jets, they both have, obviously, former teammates.
And those two teams, I would think, like, the Saints always seem up against it, that they couldn't make something happen. And the Jets are in what situation?
Jets have $16 million in cap space. They could create more. They do have a first, second, and two-thirds. They do have two-third rounders to trade for 2025.
See, the Jets are going to overpay and do this.
the Jets are a team that I can see Kansas City doing it because, I mean, Kansas City, let's be fair, like they have not stockpiled receivers.
The Saints have $2 million in cap space.
What do the Chiefs have?
Let's find that out real quick.
Find out.
We'll find out. By the way, over on the YouTube, Stephen Lee says trade for Devontae, and AC over on the Twitch says the same thing. So we've got, at least on the fan cam, a greater appetite for trading for Devontae Adams. And the Chiefs have $5 million in cap space.
So here's what the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text says. Parsons at a fifth rounder for Crosby and Adams. let's see. Chiefs would
Let
be
me think a, about that for a second.
Yeah. Chiefs would be a team that could use him. If you get Devontae, Dak still has to be able to throw to him. Dak to make throws, not short or overthrow him. Why waste a second rounder on him? He's very good, but he's not the missing piece this team needs.
Well, what is the missing piece? That you have to make that plural. There is no missing piece.
No.
You need pieces.
Yes.
I believe if they have any chances here, they just have to go out and outscore people. You want to trade for some defensive run stoppers? Okay. Tell me who they are. What's that going to cost? I think Devontae has to go with a straight, like, pure dropback passer. Any of this talk I see about the Ravens, the Colts, it's not going to work. Like, Devontae Adams, to me, is a tactician, and he is a scientist when it comes to running routes, and he needs a pure rhythm dropback quarterback. I think Dak Prescott can be in that category and that conversation, but then you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Hell, it may be worse to go to Rodgers and rot there versus Carr and the Saints at this point. Maybe worse.
Well, what's going on with the Jets is, it seems eerily similar to what's going on with the Raiders. Just dysfunction. Now, there's a better quarterback, right? There's a better quarterback with the Jets.
I don't know. That's what I just asked. I don't know. Well, I don't know Derek Carr versus Rodgers right now.
No. I was talking with the Raiders. I'm saying, I'm comparing the Raiders and the Jets.
Oh, the Raiders.
Right. So the Jets always have a better quarterback situation than the Raiders do. Yes, I agree with Carr.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's going on with the cadence in New York?
So,
real quick, anything else you want to add on Devontae and these reports?
I mean, just the thought in the past that during this offseason, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers was borderline tampering with Devontae Adams, talking about, oh, I'd love to play with him again. So, I mean, that's always there.
The but team he can that do I that, right? He's allowed to do that? Players are?
Not technically. It just kind of depends. It's a gray area of enforcement. But the team that I would look out for that I'd be concerned if they got him is Washington. If Washington got Devontae Adams, that really changes the outlook for this division.
In terms of the cadence, so remember earlier in the week on Monday, I guess it was Monday, Sunday after the game, Robert Saleh said we may have to do something about the cadence because the Jets had like a dozen false starts. And Rodgers was like, well, that's one way to do it, or you could just, you know, hold him accountable. Well, now Robert Saleh is walking that back. And now he is saying we're going to continue to push the envelope with cadence.
The most cowardly individual in professional football is Robert Saleh. That dude is so terrified of Rodgers, or like he is one of these do anything to keep my job, including just come off spineless and gutless. There's no way anybody has any respect for him in that building, the way that he coaches and approaches personality management.
Current cap space, it says $18 million right now for the Jets. The Cowboys have 24.5. Washington has 28. Pittsburgh has 12.5.
And it goes down by about $1 million a week. So if you wait 3 weeks, now his $13 million cap charge is down to 10.
17, 18 million for the Jets.
It's enough.
Make the trade.
But you just said they have 5.
No, 5 was Kansas City.
Okay. Okay.
But from Saleh's perspective, like, there are two things potentially are true here. If you think the players can't handle the cadence, one, you need smarter players. Two, maybe he didn't work on it enough in the offseason. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he didn't work on it enough.
But
he's the head coach. He's going to cower here?
Yeah. He's going to cower. Absolutely. And then Rodgers went on McAfee and said, no, we text each other. We're in group threads and all that stuff. We have a good relationship.
In group
therapy. How is Micah Parsons breaking up the Philadelphia Eagles with what is going on here with his podcast?
So there are some Eagle fans and even players who are big mad at Micah Parsons. So Micah, and not even just Micah, but also at Darius Slay. So Micah had on Darius Slay on his podcast, and they were kind of joking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson giving up a touchdown after he was saying he was going to put belt to butt on Tampa before the game, right?
Don't volunteer me for that.
That's right. And then they go on and they, you know, they kind of trash him. They kind of trash him a little bit.
It's weird.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson goes on Instagram and just posts, damn. So Eagle fans are upset that their player's going on a rival podcast, which is stupid. Stupid to get upset about that. These guys are booked weeks in advance. It's not like you just called them up on Monday night.
I don't know if they're booked weeks in advance.
Well, it may not. It wasn't booked that day. How about that? Like, Micah recorded his podcast, whatever, Monday night.
I mean, Micah could have texted him and just been like, hey, you want to jump on?
Could have.
Let's reverse things on how it would look. Let's say that, you know, Derrick Henry or Lamar had a podcast. Cowboys get smoked. Micah goes on there joking and laughing with them on a Tuesday. Are we ticked about it?
Yeah, we're crushing them.
Justifiably?
Yeah, that's the question. We're going to crush them. Is it justified? In my opinion, no. It's just like the same thing where these guys have birthday parties after a loss. You know?
Okay, I'll say this. I think other people, whether we think it's justified or not, I think there are people in the locker room who would crush him and think it's justified. Others probably wouldn't, but there are other people I think who absolutely would be upset that that happened. I could see people being upset currently in the Dallas locker room of like, why are you sitting here cutting it up with a Philly player in the middle of the season? Like, I don't even care if we're not playing him that week or anything else. Don't need to have that.
Was Slay laughing at Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah, kind of.
That's the problem.
It was dismissive.
That is the problem. Like, that... The issue is not, to me, it's not going on Micah's podcast. Like, these guys all have
especially
their own
if
brand.
You haven't just played.
Yeah, right. They didn't just play. These
but
guys
Micah
all...
had been beefing with Gardner-Johnson the week before, mm-hmm. and then it looks like you're going on there to kind of join him laughing at your teammate.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I could totally see that. Because these guys, they're all their own brand. They all have a podcast now. They don't consider themselves rivals. They consider themselves counterparts.
Since Philadelphia radio now sucks and is boring, even worse before with Angelo Cataldi gone, we have to get to impersonators. And Tolo sent me a WIP impersonator that would call in. This is how your typical radio complaints are going these days with everyone down on Nick Sirianni and the Eagles.
Yeah, first time, long time. How you doing? Listen, I've been saying it. No, I'm not on speaker, John. It's Bluetooth. Hold up. Let me roll up the window.
Windy.
John, I've been telling you since day one, this team stinks and Jalen Hurts is not the guy. Okay, it's Kenny Pickett time and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear excuses. Oh, he doesn't have any weapons and A.J. Brown's hurt and Devontae's hurt and Lane Johnson's. Listen, John, I was in this town when the weapons were James Trash, Fred X, and Todd Pinkston, John. I don't want to hear the excuses. Sam Darnold ain't making excuses out there in Minnesota, okay? He's 4-0. I don't hear any excuses from Darnold. But our guys walk moping around making excuses. Listen, Jalen Hurts has got to go. No play Slay's got to go. Listen, they all got to go, John. It's Burlington Coat Factory. Everything must go. The coach, Sirianni, he's done. Listen, I'd rather ask Siri what to do on fourth down than ask Sirianni. This team is a disgrace.
How good is that?
It's fantastic.
That's
the
what I wish.
Get you.
That's what I wish we could get when we spy on them, but it's so boring. It's awful now.
Not the same.
We got to switch on over to the other station. I think that guy's doing a fake call in, maybe to John Kincaid. Who's the fullback that's on WIP?
John Ritchie.
It's
John Ritchie or John Kincaid, but the accent great. Gets me. It stopped my wife in her tracks yesterday, and I had to go down to Stavros.
Hoagie.
Baltimore accent.
A.G. Patrick Mahomes.
Joe Flacco. And the Baltimore A's.
I knew you did, Roger Goodell.
That guy is like kind of blowing up more than ever.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he's great.
He did their schedule release.
He does the podcast circuit, the comedy podcast circuit, and so like he's a popular guest.
I only want to hear him talk his Ronnie.
Yeah, he's funny.
Like the other, well, I haven't listened to his other stuff, to be honest, the stand up as much. I think he's got some funny topics and content, but him is Ronnie. I'm going to go watch it now in this break. 877-881-1053. Let's see if Nick Eatman ends any hope of Davante Adams or anyone else as we start to preview the Steelers with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this. Nick Eamon, DallasCowboys.com, every hump day at this time. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, how many trade topics have you guys done on your shows over there at DallasCowboys.com? Looking at any targets or player possibilities?
No. You said DallasCowboys.com. Yeah. No, we don't do trade targets.
No,
there.
No, because that would be technically be considered tampering, would it not, Nicholas?
Yes, it would be. It would be. And if you've been in that conversation before, which I have, it's not fun, so you stay away from it as much as you can. But no, we don't do that.
That is, that is as dumb as the NFL Network telling Bobby he can't even walk through a casino. A sports book.
I can walk through with purpose and just cannot stop
at
all.
Yeah, you have to move. You have to be moving swiftly if that's the only way that you... Yeah, I've read the rules, too. I went to the Super Bowl. I read the rules. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah.
Okay. How about this? And you can just say, nope, can't answer it. usually they don't, play in these waters, free agency or big trades. Could you see that being different this year?
I'm
not asking you about a player.
No, I get it. And I can answer that, just on, do they think that they need enough help to go for it? I still think the jury's out on that a little bit as far as what they think they have, what they think they can do. And they'll be looking to see, they're always going to be looking, of course, to see if that works. But to dip into next year's draft pool, I just think that most people don't realize how serious next year's cap is going to be. And I don't think they really want to trade the draft capital that they have because they know that that's what's going to have to save them next year is just those draft picks. So it's going to have to be very, very dire here. And I don't know if you would consider it that way or not. If something pops up like maybe a pass rusher, running back, maybe a receiver. Yeah, maybe. But they would have to make a lot of sense for not just this year, but down the road.
So, Nick, explain to us what that cap situation is for next year that you're talking about, just so we can all keep that in mind as all these topics and possibilities come up.
Well, there's at least 40, it may be more now, but this is before the DAC contract, but there's at least $45 million in dead cap money that's going to be there for based off players. I know Tank is one of them, Zach Martin, maybe Brandon Cooks, and then, of course, Dak. Just money that it's not necessarily dead money if the player is here, but it's like it's already on the cap. You can't move it. You can't touch it just based off the bonuses that they pushed back. So they're going to have – I can't do a deep dive in the salary cap. All I know is I've been told – don't worry about this $25 million that you're reading that the Cowboys have under the cap. They're moving it all, pushing it all to next year to try to help in next year's cap space as much as possible.
Mm. Nick, when you mention you think they would have a preference to hold on to that capital for next year, I think a lot of people felt like they were scarred from free agency from the Brandon Carr deal. Years ago, that maybe that caused them to go, maybe we shouldn't throw this much money at people who are outside the organization. Do you think anything about this past draft and missing a running back opportunity, things like that, scarred them with the Trey Lance trade where they went, damn it, see, this is why we don't make deals with draft picks?
Yeah, I don't know if they get scarred by that, but you have some hits, you have some misses, and so you certainly look at that. You do the same when you have a college that you had success with or not had success with, whatever, Michigan. even though Jordan Lewis is great, he's been a really good pick. He really has been, and we'll see about Mozzie. But I think you let the past kind of creeps in. It's only natural to do that. But, I always go back to what I know what the Cowboys, mantra is when it comes to free agency. I said this yesterday on a podcast that I do. It was that they feel like that average players in free agency get good money, and they feel like good players in free agency get great money, and great players never get to free agency. That's the way they view things, and so they feel like the good players that they lost were getting great money. Dorrance Armstrong being included, Tyler Biotish. that they lost good players. If they were a great player, they're not getting to free agency. And I think that just goes to show what the Cowboys think about the guys that they let go and also the guys that they sign and bring in, which they probably feel like there aren't a lot of great players out there in free agency.
If I were to ask Bobby if this team is closer to a bottom 10 team or top 10, he would say bottom 10. Would you agree with that, or where would you put it?
No. Well, I mean, I think they're – I mean, okay, so it's basically you're talking about, are they going to draft 10th? Are they going to make the playoffs and be at, you know, around 22, 20, you know, comfortably in the playoffs or in between? And I definitely think they're in between. But, you know, I'm not there to put them in the top, you know, the bottom 10 just yet. I don't think that they've done that yet. We'll see. Now, the New Orleans game is that's going to be a weird one, because I don't think New Orleans is going to be the team that it makes sense to dominate the Cowboys like that. Then again, the Raiders aren't going to be the team to beat the Ravens on the road. It's a weird league. Weird things happen. And I think I still think it's early to find out what teams are. I don't think the Cowboys are in the bottom 10. I wouldn't say that yet. And I think they're going to be fighting and scratching and clawing every game to win these games and to try to sneak into the playoffs. That's what I feel like this team will be.
Nick Eatman with DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 The Fan. Yeah, Nick, I guess where I come down on that is more the idea of, and forget just a draft order. If you're just looking at like power rankings across the NFL right now, I would say that the Cowboys slide
Dave
close.
Hellman does the power rankings. You know?
No, but
Hellman does power rankings, and I love David Hellman. I'm just saying, what is a power ranking? We used to put it on our site. I hated it. I hated that because I'm like, I don't barely know this team. I don't know what the Bengals are doing. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. No, I would just say this. I feel like I'm closer to saying there are 22 teams that I feel like reasonably confident, closer to it anyway, saying that I could find 22 teams that would beat the Cowboys right now in the NFL than I could find 22 teams that I think they could beat. I think they're closer to that.
Okay. All right. That's fine to say. I look at it like there are zero teams that I think the Cowboys would absolutely just go in and beat. Like without a doubt, there's not a team that you're like, there's no way. There's no way you're losing to Carolina. That used to be the case. I don't know if that's the case this year. I think they will win these games, but I don't think there's anybody on the schedule that you would just say, you look at the schedule and I'm looking at it. I don't see anybody that you're like, absolutely, that's a win. On the flip side, there's not one game on here that I'm like, absolutely, that's a loss. Not one. There's not anybody that you would be like, no way. I'm sure McCaffrey comes back. He'll be great. The 49ers will be super healthy for that game, and that will be a tough one. But, you know, and that they're going to – I feel like they're going to hit their stride too, right in time to play Dallas, and Kittle will be wearing T-shirts and all that cool stuff. So, That might be the toughest one, but there's nobody else on the schedule that you're like, no, they can't win that. So I guess we're kind of saying the same thing. It's just where do you put them in the middle? I'm putting them pretty much in the middle right now.
How are you viewing the Steelers right now as a matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think losing to the Colts was probably bad for the Cowboys. I think having a 4-0 target on them would probably have been an easier game. I think they're going to be pissed off. They're going to be, you know, but they're going to be physical. They're going to run it right at the Cowboys. They were going to run it if Tank and Micah were there. Now that they're not, they're going to run it even more. I mean, like Fields will be, you know, doing his thing. I think it'll be a jacked up crowd. Of course, you know, Cowboys haven't been there 8 years, and the towels will be waving Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a really tough environment for the Cowboys to win. But, you know, I think what you'll see, though, this week, I really believe you're going to see more passes down the field. I think the Cowboys realize that they've got to do that more. That'll help their players. You know, Brandon Cooks I don't know if they're using him in a way that is best for him. The same thing happened last year. You know, he had 9 catches in the first 5 games of the season. Yeah. And then he kind of found his groove a little bit, and they got that corner end zone, you know, pass to him, and he stretched the field a little bit, ran him some routes that make more sense for him. And I think you're going to see that more. I think the Cowboys are throwing it short of the sticks a lot. And, you know, they're going to have to let it rip. And I think that against this team, this secondary, this is a matchup that they're going to have to do that.
Nick, do you think that short passing game is more so because of how defenses are playing them, or Bobby's theory of a young offensive line and we got to get stuff out faster?
That's a part of it. And then because of that, teams know that. Everybody's got, I mean, the Cowboys have, I don't know, 10 analytics people, 5, 10. I mean, they have a lot. Everybody has them. Everybody sees and knows the Cowboys throw the ball, you know, within the 1 to 10-yard range, probably as much as anybody in the league. And so they're sitting on routes. The corners are sitting there. You're going to have to move them back. And if you move them back, you can run the ball more. But you're right. It's got to get blocked. It's got to get max protected. And so it's a chicken and egg type thing, because yes, they are blocking. They're throwing the ball shorter and quicker because of the line. But at the same time, you're going to have to throw it over their head. You're going to have to use the speed. I mean, they don't have like relay, you know, track speed guys, but they have speed. I mean, Tolbert can get deep. Cooks can get deep. Of course, CD can, I mean, we've seen it. They can do it. They're going to, I think that's something that you'll see this week. I think that they'll throw the ball down the field a little more.
Good stuff. Thank you, brother. No tampering this time.
There you go.
No way. Thanks, guys.
Nick Eatman, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort.
Last time Justin Fields played the Cowboys, obviously he was with the Bears, but that team rushed for 240 yards that night.
How many did he have?
He had 60. He had 8 for 60. David Montgomery, 15 for 53. Khalil Herbert, 16 for 99. Again, different team, but the Bears still lost by 20.
Lost.
49-29.
That was the Micah scoop and score, and they didn't touch him down, and he just jumped up and ran into the end zone.
All right, let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece and see if we can debate with them over the debate last night. Let's make Kevin Hagelin uncomfortable right after this.
Came down to one pitch. You're sick. Brings it in, and there's the last pitch on a swing and a miss. And the Royals have shut out Baltimore 1-0.
There's a ground ball, and the Royals win the World Series.
Bobby Witt Jr. got the RBI.
Is that Denny Matthews?
Denny Matthews, yeah.
Royals radio.
Ground ball up the middle. Two runs will score, and the Royals are going to win the ball game.
Better than some final calls that people have criticized. Let's crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece.
What do you mean by that?
There's just calls that people have gotten on. You
like
know?
Which call?
Like, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
You guys ever are you ever thankful? Perfect example right there. And thank God Bassick's not here to make fun of my stuttering problem that should not be made fun of as an issue. But you ever thank your lucky stars that you're not doing play-by-play and you think how many times you would stutter or stammer a big
Absolutely.
Moment? Or just doing the broadcast news? Like, no TV anchors like stutter and stammer, at least like I do while doing talk radio.
Those guys, the TV people, they read that script about 6 times before they go on air, and then the script is up. So they pretty much have it.
Yeah, but still. Then. Like, still. Even... Like Still. Your mind
Absolutely.
Playing tricks.
That's
on
why
you.
They get paid the big bucks.
Your mind plays tricks. Your eyes get ahead of your mouth, or vice versa.
What?
Like where you're reading and speaking. Like sometimes your eyes and your mouth aren't on sync. Sometimes you're in the zone. You're ITZ, baby. Right? Sometimes you're in the zone. But most of the time, at least for me, I'm not ever.
But that's what they're trained for. You know, like that's what they train for it every day.
I'm trained to kill.
Just like you guys trained to get up and be here on time at 6 o'clock every morning.
That's nice that he's here today.
Were you monitoring how he looked walking out of the boss's office? Did you see it yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Okay. No, I walked by very quickly. I did glance over and notice they were looking at each other. So I was like, okay. And then I went.
Cause of death revealed for Pete Rose, hypertension.
High blood pressure. Attack? Is that a heart attack? Is that
high blood pressure.
Can I ask you a question?
Going to happen to most of us.
At what age,
God, Corey,
do you need to not release the cause of death? Like, I remember when Queen Elizabeth died, they're like, what's her cause of death? I was like, dude, she's like 101. Her cause of death was old.
Meghan Markle.
I think it had...
What?
Her cause of death was Meghan Markle.
It's a stress joke. It's a stress joke.
That
Jeez.
Would be my wife's cause of death, Meghan Markle. I think it has to be revealed for every age.
Okay.
The thing that jumps out to me with this is how fast we got it back. How's it work with toxicology reports?
Yeah, these murder cases. Yeah. You're like, it's going to take a week or two. Pete Rose, nope. heart failure.
They 100% just looked at him like, that's
he may have been in a hospital. He may have been on bed rest. He may have had a doctor there. But I agree with you. They have to, like, because, like, what happens if you're 98 and, you know, you would think.
Foul play.
Heroin
overdose.
Yeah, it could
be foul play.
Man.
But at that point,
why are you murdering a 98-year-old?
The money.
Don't murder anybody.
Money or misery. Put him under misery. Like,
are you about to tell us you would kill somebody?
His father.
My father.
Oh, my God.
He's in a home. He can't speak. He can't see. He's drooling. If I can get away with it, I mean, I would do it humanely.
See, but I view that somewhat differently than I'm murdering someone to get their money. It sounds like you're genuinely concerned for the health and well-being of your dad and his quality of life.
Yeah, that was a compassion kill.
Yeah, it's a compassion kill, but, you know, 98. You know, my grandmother, 98, she was at a casino still. So
did Kevorkian
help those
that wanted it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he didn't just go kill people. They came to him.
Okay.
And he's like, I'll kill you.
And did he? What was his punishment?
Ooh, I can't remember if he did get extradited because he started doing it out of the country. That is a good question. I don't remember.
Corey, what's coming up on the program?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to dig more into Dr. Kevorkian, who's no longer with us since 2011. So you don't have to worry about that.
Somebody assist him with that?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
We scout the Steelers at 10. We look into Davante Adams at 10:20, and then my buddy's an idiot at 11:20. And hey, you never know. Chris Young hopped on with us yesterday. It could be anything today.
Wasn't scheduled?
Nope.
No.
But it was awesome.
Like, did he call in, like, ticked? Yeah.
We were kind of told about 5 minutes before, hey, he's about to hop, or 12 minutes, hey, he's about to hop on with you. I loved it. Chris Young's fantastic.
Yeah.
You get the energy out of him. He is ramped up and ready to go for next year.
He knew all the players.
And he might hire Kevin to go in and get the budget for next year from Ray Davis. So,
well, you told him that you told him how long it took for our tip dinner, though?
Okay, look. I'm going to go back to this, and I'm going to say the same thing that I always say. We passed the receipt around and said, everyone, please write your initials by what you took. Come back. There's about 15 missing things.
You know, you're really cheap.
Send it back around. There's
if you don't initial, you're super cheap.
There's still about 4 or 5 missing things. And I'm like, guys, somebody had these things.
If you don't own what we all saw you eat.
On an expense account.
On an expense account. On the written receipt passed around. Yeah. You're real cheap. Like, it's one thing if, like, it's not even, like, listed there. And, like, okay, do you remember what you had? No. Did we split that appetizer? But that did actually happen. What also happened last night, and you asked me about it in the conference room, so I know you were dying to talk about it.
Misinterpreted that.
The vice presidential debate. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it?
I watched probably the same as the last presidential debate. Probably, like, 2/3-ish.
Were you refreshed or bored by it?
I think the fact that I was bored by it was refreshing, if that makes sense.
Good,
like,
answer.
We didn't have as many memeable things, but that's good. That's not necessarily what I'm looking for from our debates.
Did you watch it, Corey?
Yeah.
I
thought J.D. Vance was fantastic. I thought Waltz was exactly what I expected. I told Kevin yesterday, I was like, I'd be more interested if it was Mayor Pete up against J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
I think it's two
minds.
Can they
be in the same room together?
I think it's maybe, but
not if J.D. Vance's policies get put in.
That's two minds that I think are, you know, after watching Vance last night, he was prepared, he was sharp, he was, like, if you're voting for president, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm voting for that guy, even though he's not the guy you're voting for, but he was really
good.
He's
not the guy, okay? He's very low ratings.
Yeah, exactly.
Very low ratings.
And that's what I was telling Kevin.
People are actually saying that Trump, who has not wanted to do a second Harris debate, would come back and do a Harris debate to outshine Vance. Because Vance is getting a lot of nice praise. And they're like, Donald would want to compete with Vance and get the last word.
I'm the best debater.
And that's what I told you, right?
He's
I
said on this, his ticket.
What if he challenged Vance to a debate?
I could absolutely see that.
He's like, I'm going to take you out. Where's Mike Pence? Bring Pence back. Did any part of you last night say, let's just throw those two together and have them on the ticket because they're being civil, they're not fighting, They're actually answering some of the questions.
They agreed with each other a lot.
Talking about the policy. It was not a low-down, dirty fight.
Yeah. No, I could absolutely see that. But we always come to that conclusion as a society too late, right? Because if you look at what it takes to get through the primaries, you have to go as far right and as far left as possible. Oh, yeah. I know I did that with the opposite hands. To get the primary nomination. And then when you get to the general, everyone's like, oh, crap. What have we done? And it's too late by then.
Yeah, because you've already said your points. You've already said what you want to say to get the nomination. And now you're like, well, I didn't really mean that. I didn't really mean what I said.
I was just hoodwinking the voters.
Yeah, you got to placate your far right and far left.
Was there anything else that jumped out to you from either of the two?
I was asking Corey, and I'm curious y'all's thoughts and the Tolo's thoughts about it. How much does the vice presidential debate move the needle? Because I was looking at the betting odds, and they tightened up overnight because of the debate, but they were already really close. It was about 51-47 Kamala, and now Real Clear Politics has
See, Kevin's math, 51-47.
You
want that in the Rangers? You want that, Chris Young?
Who's that other 2% Jill Stein?
He had to explain this to me, too. There's some discrepancy that they work with on there.
So she's leading 51%?
Yeah, but now she's got 49.4% and Trump has 49.3%. So we're about 5 weeks out. It's like literally right down the middle.
We got like three states we're basically watching.
And I think you could make a really strong argument that that is accurate, if not just Pennsylvania.
I was about to say, it might just be Pennsylvania. But it could also be Georgia and North Carolina.
CNN was saying it's not going to have an impact. Of course, they're not going to say it's going to have an impact.
They fixed it better. But that's why I wanted to ask people. I didn't know how many people watched that and they're like, this person could be my candidate.
What's your answer to it? The impact?
No, it doesn't move anything for me. It never has.
How will it for people?
I don't think it does.
The only way it would is...
Yeah, I always like to see them go to their undecided panel. Let's talk to the undecided voters.
Do you think Kamala made a difference last time around? Like was that like a needle mover? I didn't think it was. And that was a legitimate thing where people were like... That ended up being important because when he bowed out, it kind of defaulted to her as being the next one.
I think with... Lastly, the only way it would have an issue is if you took Trump's age into account, and I think you have to, right? Sure. There's a possibility that if he wins that JD would be the president. JD show himself to be presidential? Okay. I don't think it would look like that from the other side.
I love how Walt's open. He goes, 80-year-old Donald Trump was up there. And I'm like, where are you coming from?
I am going to use I'm going to call it the Walls technique.
He's only 60?
Next, who?
Tim Walz.
You thought he was like 75?
You're
like
kidding me.
Actors on Cheers. They were 50 when they were back 22 years old. Yeah.
If I oversleep.
Well, JD's eye makeup makes him look younger.
If I oversleep again.
Is that what that was?
He's got always like Sirianni eyes.
He does.
Trying to get the goth vote.
If I oversleep again and you, when I walk in here, you go, why are you late? Then I'm just going to default to when I was a boy growing up in North Dallas and boy, we'd stay out till the lights came on and, go back inside, have a hot bowl of chili and, snuggle up on the TV and watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And Regis Philbin always made me feel so comfortable. I'm just going to go that way.
Vance did that too.
It's funny.
They asked
him the first question
and he goes, I'm going to answer that, but first I'm going to tell you about myself.
Just one
that
time.
And that's smart. Like that is debate 101 where you got to get the people on your side in some way before you set up the opponent. Like that is part of the technique.
You think you're like the best debater here?
I do not.
Are you a master debater? He's the master debater. Yeah.
That's why
this thing's empty. This lotion's empty.
Oh my God. Would you love if a moderator's like, my question's about the economy. But wouldn't you instead tell me a folksy anecdote about yourself?
No, my favorite moderator moment, that one girl, she was so hyper to pull down that mute button. It was like she was pulling a lever on an airplane that had resistance. And she's like,
reverse thrust.
She's like, I can't hear you because you're muted.
Who would be the best presidential debater at the station? I think it might be Dawson.
Well, is he watching the issues?
He would. Yeah. I'm saying Dawson would not get rattled.
What have you seen from these debates to think you really have to be locked in on the issues?
Dawson would not get rattled, and he would throw in little jabs that annoy the other people, and he'd just be like, "What? I didn't say it. What do you mean? I didn't
You've
say
got to be a gaslighter to be a good debater. You do have to be a gaslighter.
I think Dawson would kill.
You do have to be a good gaslighter.
Yeah, he does that pretty well.
I think Kevin would be good.
Kevin's smart.
I think I could gaslight.
Gotta gaslight.
Did Chia Fowler or Zach have the brain power?
Oh my gosh.
Probably not.
Oh no.
I think they had the brain power.
You think Eric cut it or peed it out?
Walchuk staring at them.
He smoked it out. What?
Walchuk going, I did not.
Oh, they smoked it out.
Oh yeah.
Who'd be the easiest to trigger with their crowd sizes?
Michael.
Bobby.
Yeah, no, not with crowd sizes, but just trigger in general would be Bobby.
Mike, do you know how many people actually showed up to watch you pitch?
Shut up.
And then he'd lose it.
Yeah,
and,
you know, when I put my debut at Fenway Park.
Yeah, exactly. And he'd be right back in therapy where he is and right where he is right now. But for the start of the KMC masterpiece, next on The Fan.